Exciting, frequent, passionate, powerful, impactful, energizing, peaceful, refreshing. Raise your hand if any one of those words describes your prayer life. Okay, not bad. For those of us who didn't raise our hands, I want you to know that you're not alone. Okay, there are times that we know that that's the way prayer should feel, right? It should feel like all those things, but it just doesn't. I mean, we read all kinds of things in God's Word about there being power and about there being excitement around prayer. We read Jesus praying and then calling out to Lazarus and bringing Lazarus back from the dead. We see Jesus pray, and he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he makes it into an all-you-can-eat buffet for somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. And you might say, well, that's Jesus praying. What about us regular people? Okay. Well, what about after Peter and John were released from jail in Acts chapter 4, and the believers gathered together, and I want you to look at their prayer, and then I want to look and see what happened as a result of their prayer. But as they conclude their prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, this is what they said. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. See, the rulers and authorities at that time, they were threatening the believers. They wanted the believers to stop talking about Jesus. And what I find interesting is that the believers didn't pray to put a stop to the authorities and the rulers. What they prayed for is that they would have the strength and the courage and the boldness to continue doing exactly the same thing that God wanted them to do, the same thing that got Peter and John in trouble to begin with, and that is to spread the good news about Jesus. And so they pray this very bold prayer, and then after this prayer, look what happened in verse 31. This is what I want you to see. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, that is a prayer meeting, right? That is a prayer meeting. It's powerful. It's impactful. It was literally earth-shaking. Now, listen, every time we pray, the earth isn't going to shake, but it would be really cool if it did, right? But it's not going to shake every time that we pray. But what happens when we pray, and we saw it in verse 31, is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we connect with the Father. And that is what makes prayer powerful and impactful. See, I mean, shouldn't it be? I mean, is this common sense? Shouldn't prayer be powerful and impactful when prayer is the way we connect to the creator and sustainer of the universe? It should be, right? Prayer should be exciting. It should be exciting to know and to think that God wants to be involved in our lives, in all the little things of our lives. Prayer is so important. And it should be all of those words that we talked about: exciting, powerful, impactful, frequent. But when I talk to people, it seems like especially people who are struggling, there's a correlation with that. But when I talk to people about their prayer life, those usually aren't the words I hear to describe their prayer life. What I usually hear are words like quick, boring, struggling, rare, confusing, empty, shallow. I just feel like my words are just going up and hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. I've had people say, well, you know, I know it's important, so it's my New Year's resolution. Like, I'm going to keep this resolution. Or most people will just be honest and say, you know what? I really just don't pray that much at all. See, we don't want any of that for anyone. We want prayer to be an exciting, powerful, impactful part of being a Christian because it is where we can connect with God. See, that's the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is that we can connect with God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. And so here's the thing. When we pray, if you aren't hearing God, if you never see God move, then maybe it has something to do with our prayer and with our prayer life. Maybe we're not as close to God as we think we are. Oh, yeah, we pray occasionally, but maybe it's not with the intention of drawing close. Maybe, and I see this a lot, it's with the intention of just giving God our list. Okay, God, here's what I want you to do for me. Okay, God, I want you to take care of this, and I want you to heal that person, and I want you to take care of this other thing over here, and God, meet these needs over there. And it's just a list of things. You know, I think too many of us pray that way. We pray with just a bunch of requests. And that's part of prayer, but it's not all that prayer is. Prayer is connecting to God. It's connecting to Him. And we have to know that He is always ready to connect with us. And so the burden of this connection is on us. God is always there, and if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. We need to talk to Him, and we need to listen, and we need to be in His Word. See, God speaks to us through prayer. He also speaks through His Word. And so if we're only doing one and we're not doing the other, we're missing the full impact of the connection that we can have with God. The Word of God is so important, especially when we're praying. It's important that we know the Word of God. Because here's the truth that I want you to know and I want you to put into your head today. God will never, ever tell us to do something that contradicts His Word. God will never tell us to do something that contradicts His Word. And so God will never tell you to leave your spouse because you're bored with them. God will never tell you to date someone who is married to another person. God will never tell you that premarital sex is okay. In fact, God will tell you that the only sex that's okay is sex with your spouse. And when it comes to who you marry, God will never say that it is okay to marry someone of the same sex. Our culture might say that, but God will never say that. God will never tell you that polygamy is okay. Yes, you can find polygamy in the Bible, but it doesn't mean that God ever said it was okay. God was against polygamy. If you're a Christian, God will never tell you that it's okay to marry someone who isn't a Christian. God will never tell you that He's perfectly fine with abortion. God will never tell you that it's okay to cheat or to steal from your employer. God will never tell you that it's okay to not tithe. God will never tell you that it's okay to take advantage of someone. God will never tell you that it's okay to remain silent about Him. God will never tell you that it's okay to not make disciples. How do I know these things? Because I know what God's Word says about these things. And I know that's not going to change. Because His Word is just like He is. It never changes. His Word never changes. It was the same yesterday as it is today, as it will be tomorrow. His Word doesn't change. And God will never contradict His Word. And so when we pray, I want you to understand God will never give permission for us to go outside the boundaries that He has set up, no matter how inconvenient that makes it for us. And so if you ever feel like God is telling you to do something that's outside His Word, that contradicts His Word, that ain't God. That's the enemy. That's Satan. That's why the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4, to test every spirit. We need to test everything that we feel like that God is saying to us. We need to test it against the Word of God to see, is it really God who is telling me to do this? That's why when writing to the church in Thessalonica, part of Paul's conclusion to them included this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. and reject every kind of evil. Hold on to what is good. How do we know what is good? The Word of God tells us. Reject every kind of evil. How do we know what is evil? The Word of God tells us. So we are to test everything that we hear. We are to test what we hear in prayer. We are to test what people tell us. We need to test to see if it lines up with the Word of God. And if it contradicts the Word of God, then it truly is from Satan. Now, I say this about God's Word because I want you to know that just because we're in a series now and it's going to focus on prayer, it might make it look like that this communication, this connection is all about prayer. I want you to understand it's just as much about the Word of God as it is about prayer. See, we need to pray, but you need the Word of God too, and you need other mature Christians speaking into your life. See, these are the ways that God speaks to us. These are the ways that God connects with us. There are a lot of incredible things that happen when we pray. And so I am excited about this prayer series. And for me, for my money, if you want to know how to pray, then you go to Jesus. There's lots of different prayers in the Bible. There's lots of amazing prayers in the Bible. But if you really want to know how to pray, Jesus has told us in his word how to pray. And I think that's where we need to go. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. If you want to go there and you didn't bring your Bible, you can grab a Bible from in front of you somewhere and turn that to page 1613. You're going to be right where you need to be. We're in Luke chapter 11. We'll be in verse 1. Now, you might have been expecting me to tell you to turn to Matthew 6 because we find the Lord's Prayer there as well. And what we actually see is it seems like maybe Jesus has preached this more than once. Okay, he's taught this method of praying a few times. See, in Matthew 6, Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so he's making points in his sermon. He gets to the prayer, he talks about prayer, and then he moves on. It's just part of the sermon. But here in Luke 11, Jesus was praying. He wasn't preaching, he was praying. And the disciples then are going to ask him how to pray. Look at verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And that's the prayer. Now, some translations leave out that last line of verse 4. And so if you were in one of the Bibles in the chair backs, I don't think it's in there, that last line. But deliver us from the evil one. Not all translations have it. A lot of them do. Not all do. But it's included in Matthew 6. And so because it's in some translations, it's included in Matthew 6 as part of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to keep it in for this series and we're going to talk about it. And so what we see is this whole thing starts. Jesus explains prayer because the disciples had requested it. "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is how, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples how to pray. Now this is a reference to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, remember, he was the one who was going to prepare the way for Jesus, right? That was his purpose in life. And John had followers, he had disciples, people who followed him. He taught them how to pray. But Jesus' disciples know that Jesus is better than John, and so they want to hear from Jesus. "Jesus, how do we pray?" And Jesus tells them. And if we really want to know how to pray, if we really want to know how to pray, we need to pay special attention to how Jesus tells his disciples how to pray. If you want to be like Jesus, you got to do what Jesus did. You got to say what Jesus said. And I believe we need to pray like Jesus prayed. And so we need to pay attention to how he taught his disciples how to pray. That's what we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come. And we're going to get this. We're going to talk about the specifics of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to break it all up for you as we go on through the series. But for today, I just want to make some general comments about prayer. I think some things that are important. These are not all the comments I could make about prayer, but I just want to kind of set the tone for our series. The first thing that I want you to know is if we're going to pray the way Jesus taught, one thing I think is important is that we need to pray from our heart, not just recite words. See, when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, many people, I think, believe that they need to recite this word for word. It's almost like they think, if I can just get the right combination, if I can memorize this just right and pray it, then God is going to answer my prayer. But the Bible teaches that God is far more interested in our hearts than he is in the words that we say. Maybe that's why in Matthew 6, while he preached the Sermon on the Mount, before he taught the Lord's Prayer, he said this in verse 7 of Matthew 6, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." See, if we were just mindlessly reciting words, and we're not thinking about what those words mean, we're just reciting the words, then in essence what we're doing is we're just offering up empty phrases, right? And that's not going to get us anywhere. It's no good. There's no connection at all. We just memorize something and we're just repeating it. There's no connection. In Psalm 62, I think that's a better way to go about things. We read this in verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." See, in prayer, we are to pour out our hearts to God, not simply just recite something that we have memorized. And so, it's the heart behind the prayer that God is interested in. And the beauty of the Lord's Prayer, and why we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, is because the Lord's Prayer gives us a framework to work off of. It's a model by which we pray, not necessarily to recite the words word for word, but it's a way that we can keep focused as we pray. It's a way that we can pray completely. And when we get done with this series, it's my prayer that this is going to totally transform your prayer life. Because I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest, it totally has transformed my prayer life. And so I hope it will for you too. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to pray like Jesus. And if we're going to pray like Jesus, we need to pray from our heart, not just recite words. And we need to pray with consistency. We need to be consistent in our prayers. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He often withdrew. He often would go away. He would leave everybody. He would go away from all the distractions, and he would focus on the Father and what the Father was saying. And let's be honest, if Jesus felt like he needed to do that, we need to do that too. Right? Because I don't think any of us are better than Jesus. And so if Jesus needed to do that, we need to do that as well. We need to get away from the distractions. You need to find a time where you can get away from your cell phone. Don't have it on your body. Go put it up somewhere. Get away from your tablet. Get away from your computer. And go and just connect with God. Draw near to him somewhere. Go and be still and know that he is God. We need to go and get away from the distractions. Jesus did this often. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Now, I believe this is what works for me, but I believe this is the best way to start your day, and it's the best time to pray. Before the pressures of the day, before all the problems of the day, before any of that stuff has a chance to manifest itself, just sit down and connect with the Father. I don't think there's any better way to start your day than by drawing near to God. And so that might mean that we need to get up a half hour earlier or more, but isn't that worth it? Jesus evidently thought it was worth it to get up very early in the morning and to go pray. And he thought it was worth it because he was dependent on the Father, and that dependency drove his prayer life to consistency. And that's the third point I want to talk about, is that if we're going to pray like Jesus, then we need to pray with dependency. In John chapter 5, we read this. So he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Jesus was dependent on the Father. He was totally dependent on the Father. So much so that he says, "The only thing I do is what I see the Father do." He was dependent on the Father. Are we dependent on God? I mean, if you think about it, if anyone who's ever walked the face of the earth could have pulled off God's will without praying, that'd be Jesus, right? But what we see consistently is that God the Son would speak to God the Father on a regular basis. And Jesus does that so he can see what the Father's doing, so he can hear what the Father's saying, and so he can do, then turn around and do what the Father's doing and say what the Father is saying. If Jesus was dependent on the Father, how much more should we be dependent on the Father? We should be dependent on God. We should be dependent on Jesus. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so what we see over and over again is, apart from God, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, right? But is that true? See, here's the thing. It seems like there's stuff we can do without praying, right? It seems like it. I mean, I think part of our problem is that we can function an entire day without praying. I mean, I think if we were all honest, there's probably many days that we've functioned, we haven't prayed one time. And millions of people are proof that you can go through a day without praying, and you can go through several days without praying, right? I mean, let's be honest. We can do our paperwork. We can perform the task that we need to do. We can make the grade. We can make decisions on finances and everything else. Whatever comes up in our day, we can do that without God. Like I said, millions of people are proof of that. For myself, I can go to a meeting and have quality input. I can give solid counseling. I can come up with solutions. I could have even written this message all without God. But here's the problem. When I rely on me, that's all I got. See, if I just function alone, I'm just relying on me. But when I pray, I rely on the creator and the sustainer of the universe, who calls me his child. And as his child, he wants to help me get through the day. As his child, he wants to help me carry out his will. That is power. And that is impact. And that's why prayer has power and impact. Because we are connecting to the Father. Through prayer, we hear what God is saying. And then it's up to us to act. To do what we hear the Father saying that we need to do. And so what is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? You know, I think a lot of us, we don't want to know what God is saying to us, because we like our life just the way it is. And God might mess all that up. He might ask us to do something that we're not comfortable with, and so we don't pray because we don't want to hear. But we need to pray. We need to know what God is saying to us, and then we need to determine what we're going to do about it. What are you doing that you need to depend on God for? What do you need to let go of and let Him have control of? See, Jesus, He depended on the Father. And the disciples, they saw that. And I think that at this point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples are really, they're getting it. They're beginning to understand. They're understanding that there is this connection that is happening between Jesus and the Father. There is this connection that creates this impact and this power. And they're curious about it. They want to know more about it. See, maybe they all weren't there at the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus taught about this before, but they had been with Jesus long enough now, they had seen some pretty crazy things. And they had seen Jesus praying before healing and praying before delivering and praying before blessings. They had watched Jesus, they had watched Him go alone and pray to the Father. They had watched Him pray in public. They had watched Him pray before miracles. Just by being with Jesus, the disciples knew that Jesus' life was guided and empowered by prayer. And so maybe they were beginning to understand that there is this huge connection and there's this thing that maybe they're missing out. Maybe they don't understand prayer the way they thought they understood it. Maybe they're a little bit like us when it comes to prayer. See, when we pray, sometimes our minds drift over to other things. You ever been doing that? You're praying and all of a sudden you're thinking about something totally different. And you're like, how did that happen? Sometimes when we pray, we get distracted. You know, it just takes a little noise and all of a sudden it's like, well, what was that? And then we're out of that prayer mode. Sometimes when we pray, we just don't know what to say, right? And so maybe they felt all those things. And so they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to pray. And I find that interesting that they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they could have asked Jesus anything, right? I mean, they could have said, hey, Jesus, teach us how to preach. And we want to preach like you. Or teach us how to heal. Or teach us how to evangelize. They could ask anything, but they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They knew it was important. What about us? Do we know that prayer is important? Do we think that it's so important that we would ask Jesus to help us pray? And if we follow this model that Jesus has given, are we willing to actually listen to what He has to say and then do what He's telling us to do? We're going to have a chance to do that right now. The band is going to come out and they're going to play a few songs. And what I want this to be is a time where we're going to pray and where we're going to listen. I want you to try to determine, what is God saying to you and what are you going to do about it? And I would really love for you to take your Connect card out at some time before you leave today and just fill that out on the back of your Connect card. There's that question. What is God saying? What are you going to do about it? Just fill that out for us, because we would love to encourage you in what God is saying to you and what you need to do about that. If when you're praying you would need people to pray with you, then I'm going to ask that you would come forward, and there'll be people up here who will come and they will pray with you and they will encourage you in prayer and lift you up in prayer. Maybe today you're a person who has never surrendered to Jesus. I want you to know that the prayer that God longs to hear from you is a prayer where you surrender your life to Jesus. A prayer where you say, you know what? Lord, I am helpless. I cannot save myself, but I know Jesus died in my place to save me, and I'm going to put my hope and trust in Him. I'm going to surrender my life to Him. That's the prayer that He longs to hear from you. And if you need to make that decision, or you need to make another decision, I'm going to be standing right over there. Brian's going to join me, and we would love to talk to you about what that would mean and the steps that you need to take to truly surrender to Jesus. You know, if you think about it, Ultimately, we are all dependent on Jesus for everything. We really are. Yeah, it's true we can get through the day without praying. But truly, if we want the power and we want impact, if we want to do the will of God, then this is all about Him. We can't have salvation without Him. And as we're going to learn as we go through this series, He will meet every need that we have. We got to put our trust in Him. And so, church, what I want you to do is, if you believe that Jesus meets every need that we have, I want us to start praying like that. Okay? Let's stand and sing. And if you need to come, please come.